As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Ian's an idiot. He's wrong. Or, you know, Ian is still an idiot, but he might be right on this one.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the MLS Favorite Show in the whole wide world. It's Under the Radar, part of The Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. With me as always, my friend and yours, Ian Cobb.
Hello, my friends.
Your friend and mine, Derek Van River.
Good morning. Good follow through.
Yeah. Let's do this. This is great, man. We actually have kind of a large-ish enough sample size to play with where we don't have to have too much apprehension talking about players we like, we don't like. Ian put together a whole thing. He said he was tired when he did it, but I like it. We got some minor leaguers to go over, and this is very interesting because Maria Torres and Zach Buchanan have been writing this week in minor league baseball column, and it's super awesome because, like, you know, we see behind the scenes in the Slack here, they're actually going to all the beat writers and saying, you know, give us something good about your minor leaguers. So this isn't just like, you know, rotating one writer a week, you know, writing about the minor leagues. This is like a almost like an aggregate of what all of our beat writers are seeing across the minor leagues of their organizations. So there's some awesome stuff in there that we want to serve up to you. And then, you know, over the radar stuff for everybody. I guess our over the radar show is still in progress. DVR, is that what's going on?
Yeah, still working on it.
All right.
Is there actually an over the radar show coming?
No, it's the shallow league show that you two invented live.
Yeah, I didn't know. I hate this. Is very exciting. Very exciting. Over the radar, baby.
Like, I don't know if we can name it that. That wouldn't make any sense to someone who doesn't know Under the Radar, right?
Yeah, but if they do know Under the Radar, they're like, oh, this is Under the Radar. Right. Wouldn't it have to be us, though, if we did over... If the show's called Over the Radar, it has to be the three of us, I think.
Yeah. No? Well, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if I have any time or if DVR has any time.
All right, fair enough.
Or if Ian has any time for that, man. Ian's always
going over the radar weekly with Robert Mershak.
The schedule is packed right now. So adding more with the three of us is particularly difficult right now.
We don't have to gripe on air like this with how much work everyone's working hard.
Not a gripe, just the kind of thing where even just getting one show where we're all available at the same time has been pretty tough.
It has been. True. He's not wrong. Yeah. It's true.
Mainly because of
myself. Mainly because of me.
And a 3-hour time difference doesn't help.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're like the gamer, you know? You're the Anthony Rizzo of the team. Because you're like, I'll get up at 6:30 in the morning so that we could do it at 6:45 because you guys need to do it at 9:45. It's, you know, it's 7:30 in the morning right now in California. And it, on the video opening to the show, DVR was looking, you know, alive, but better than I would.
Yeah. DVR is like showered, hair combed kind of vibe to him.
Seriously, yeah. It's that Wisconsin goodness.
It's great.
It's the goodness of Wisconsin.
Let's go to baseball stuff.
Okay, here we go. Play ball.
So I guess we'll start with the minor league stuff because I find it quite interesting. I want to start with Andrew Abbott. He's a Reds left-hander. Here's an excerpt from the column. Actually, Ian, you want to read it? You're the professional.
No, you read it. You're really you professional, it, too.
Well, I've talked
a lot. Reds left-hander Andrew Abbott, who has begun his first professional season on a tear, drafted in the second round, which is good, out of the University of Virginia. Spent a little time in that area. The 22-year-old jumped directly to high A to start the year's end. If this keeps up, he might not be there long. Through four starts, Abbott owns at .86 ERA and has struck out nearly 43% of the batters he's faced. DVR, I think that's good. He's tallied double-digit strikeouts in each of his last three starts. That's really good, allowing just a single run in that span. Nando.
He's going to get moved up quickly, I think. He's 22. The Reds, you know, what are they doing with their lives?
Dude, the Reds are bad.
Why not bring in Andrew Abbott, this minor league phenomenon, to start some games?
They're not going to bring him up. Like, he'll go to Double A next, maybe.
I don't mean immediately, but I mean...
Yeah, but the numbers are good. I watched film on him last night. He's got a fine head of hair.
That's great.
Got a nice flowing blonde locks, which Bo Bichette, my wife were watching the Yankees and the Blue Jays. She's like, what's with his hair? I was like, that's his thing. She's like, he goes to a stylist and gets it like colored? I was like, yeah, I think he does. Andrew Abbott has like that kind of hair, but I don't think he gets it styled. I think he just has like long flowing blonde hair, lefty, hard throwing. He throws hard. He looks like an adult. He looks like just not a kid out there. Stuff looked good, and then you can't argue with the numbers. DVR, did you have a chance to take a thought about Andrew Abbott?
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that could move pretty quickly. You know, as a college lefty, I think we probably would see him at the earliest around June of next year, right? Almost within 2 years of being drafted. That's sort of the fast track for a college pitcher these days, unless they had some designs on breaking him in the bullpen this year or something like that. So it's really more of a dynasty question, I think, than anything else right now, but definitely someone that might be freely available on the wire in a lot of those large dynasty leagues that we talk about.
He's available. He was available in my Scott White Dynasty League, which is 24 teams.
But that's for a major league spot, right? Did you put him in a minor league spot?
No, so how it works is you have a minor league draft. These are Scott White rules, so there's some quirks. You have a minor league draft. You can have 12 people on your minor league bench, and the only way you can pick up a minor leaguer is through the draft. So if you add a minor leaguer during the season, he has to be on your 7-man bench with unlimited IL spots. I think it's unlimited. Anyway, so I just stashed him on my bench. Like, I'm going nowhere this year. I pulled the Ian. I'm 0-3, and I sold everybody, and I'm still selling.
That's not really the Ian.
Well, it was your advice. Get it done early, not...
I don't give advice. I don't give Nando DeFino advice. I'll tell you that Andrew Abbott is taken in the Devil's Rejects League and available in my home DL1 Dynasty League. So that gives you some indication. It's like if you're not on him yet, get on him soon because he'll be snapped up. He'll be snapped up. So he's under the radar for now. We just put him on the radar this weekend.
Yeah, go get him.
You're probably gonna have to. You're gonna bid out of 1,000. You're not gonna get him for one. You'll get him for 12.
Andrew Abbott is rostered in
1%.
Rostered in 1% of CBS leagues.
That's correct.
Yeah, not
but
bad.
That's when good players start to catch on. And when this article did this article land already?
Yeah, article was up yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, so then that's when people start grabbing.
Let me give you a guy who's rostered in 0% of fantasy leagues.
Let's hear it.
Which, I mean, statistically insignificant. I also have him on my bench. Yolbert Sanchez, our old friend from the OOTP, Chicago White Sox
OOTP.
Franchise. Yeah, who we got confused with the other. Weren't there two Yolbert Sanchezes running around?
Right, there was
there's a Yolmer Sanchez.
That was it. That's who I thought Ian was offering me in the trade, but it was really Yolbert, right?
I think that's what happened.
But that sounds right, yeah.
Check
so what's tape. He what's he doing?
I don't know. Diver, hey Diver, you want to read this one?
I've just got his stats up. Yolbert Sanchez hitting .387, .424, .419 at AAA, only 7 games so far. Got an early promotion from AA. Obviously was hitting there. That's why he got promoted in the first place. K rate under 20%. Hitting a lot of ground balls right now in the very limited time he's been at AAA. So we got to see that come down a little bit. 56% tick on the high side. Probably not going to hit .480 on balls in play. So, yeah, we get that. Like a .387 average isn't really a thing he's going to have. But I think it's average with good OBP. And then the question is, what comes with it? Do we get a little power? Do we get a decent amount of power? Do we get any speed at all? And what kinds of needs are they going to have at the big league level for a guy like Yolbert Sanchez with all the injuries that are piling up for the White Sox?
Injuries, 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 everywhere injuries.
I mean, he's played, I mean, he's primarily a second baseman shortstop throughout his minor league and Cuban career. He's also played a little bit of third base. No outfield in there. But yeah, it looks like shortstop 150 games, second base 84 games, third base 11.
Would you say he's worth a pickup in a league with 20 minor league spots? So 300 minor leaguers, he would certainly qualify for you.
Dude, he's on fire. And I mean, he played three seasons in Cuba starting when he was 18, which, I mean, he's seasoned playing with like good players.
Like Yadiel Hernandez, who I also...
Oh, man. Like, yeah, we've got to put him in the rundown. He's on fire.
He is on fire and available everywhere.
I don't get
like,
it.
Well, he's not playing every single day, right? But when he plays, he goes 3-for-4 with two doubles, like, all the time. He's really old.
No, he's not. I mean, was he 32? 33?
34.
Whatever, man. He's hammering the ball. Was he hitting 363? Yeah.
He's great for a this year play. He's great for a this year play.
Maybe next couple of years. He could DH. He could be like Nelson Cruz, DH until he's 41.
Yeah, he possibly could. By the way, Nelson Cruz, is he done? Did we finally tip him over? Is this it for Nelson Cruz?
I think I'm 0-4 the draft season with Nelson Cruz. I don't have him anywhere. And I can't really figure out why. I wasn't avoiding him. I just didn't ever feel like I needed to go get him. The K rate's actually down from last year, so he's not swinging at pitches outside the zone any more than he has been in the past. He's still walking. Only two homers so far in 24 games. Ground ball rate way up, so that typically happens when a guy's not producing.
It's like I'm looking once again at the dynasty rankings, and I was doing that late last night.
When are yours coming? When are they coming soon?
They should be coming soon. I mean, the problem is like I was crazy with work, and then a week went by, and now all of a sudden I got to redo half of it, you know, because things change so much. But like there are guys who are dropping like stones in the rankings. Guys like Nelson Cruz, guys like Adam Wainwright, guys like Joey Votto. I mean, guys who like, in late March, early April, who were going to be performers this year, so they still had some dynasty value, and then all of a sudden, they're not performing, and they're 39, so like they're almost off the list. You know, like Jonathan Scope is dropped like significantly, like 75 spots. Nelson Cruz dropped 150 spots. So like and Nelson Cruz, I've been avoiding him for years, like, oh, he's going to fall off the cliff. Oh, he's going to fall off the cliff. And then I think it's GDD, which I got him early in the auction for like $12. And I was like, all right, well, here we go. Here we go, Con. Nelson Cruz, you're going to get him. All right. Yeah, that's not working out just yet. GDD has been an interesting league. DVR, you're doing good, fine. I'm doing good, fine. Ariel Cohen and Derek Carty are leading presently. And Jason Collette is right behind. Brett Sarah Gianella behind that. Steve Kaz right behind that. It's all pretty tight. Then me, then DVR. Then Frankie and Greg.
Who's in last? BFF. Just keep going. Who's in last?
Jen Pianchetti right there, too. And it's just David Miller, then Kush. And then it just keeps on going. You know, so
okay.
Yeah. I don't say who's in last. You say who's in first. You give them the juice. The guy who's in last is a remarkably nice guy, and it's super early. Still early.
Remarkably nice guy in that league. We'll think about it.
Yeah. See if you can figure that out. Can we talk about...
I got a follow-up. I got a quick follow-up.
Sure.
Who's a better bounce-back candidate if you're looking at someone to trade for right now? Is it Joey Votto or is it Nelson Cruz? Who would you Nelson rather Cruz. Have if it was the price was the same, I guess?
Nelson Cruz. Well... Yeah,
because isn't the price the same? I mean, am I crazy? Like, wouldn't
it's similar? I think it's similar.
It is similar, but you're just talking about for redraft, not for dynasty, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think we're talking dynasty on that one.
Yeah, because these guys are on their way out. They really are. The problem with Votto is that team is bad, and so they don't score runs. So you know, and he's hitting 122. Like at least at the end of the day, Nelson Cruz has still got Josh Bell in the lineup. He's still got Juan Soto in the lineup. He's got Cesar Hernandez in the lineup. Like the Reds have Kyle Farmer, which is really good for my NL tout team, but not so good as a baseball team. You know,
right.
Tommy Pham has been decent, but still, it's just bad. So I if I had to pick between the two, I would go Nelson Cruz over Joey Votto rest of the season.
DVR,
I'm pretty torn on this one because I don't think there's much of a difference at all, but I do think the quality of the lineups right now makes a pretty big difference. We've seen We've seen a low from Votto like this before. If you look at the rolling WOBA over the last 5 years, he's actually been more volatile than I would expect for a player that's always controlled the zone really well and seems like he's in complete control of every plate appearance. I think the age argument, you know, Cruz is going to turn 42 in July. That might lead you to say Votto is the better buy low of the two, but I'm going to take the better team context right now because I think the hard thing for me right now with offense being down, you know, we've talked about the reasons why a lot on these podcasts, but the general concern I have is that if you are going to deaden the ball and power is going to be down across the board, your team context is going to be the thing that separates you more, right? If we take all the distribution of home runs and we kind of squish it down, where everything's more compact, there aren't a lot of guys pushing 30 to 40 home runs anymore. If everyone's going to hit 15 to 25, I think you're going to find that runs and RBIs become a lot more important. And then, that comes from team context. And the Reds are a mess. Clearly a team that will be trading some players away later this season. So they're probably going to get worse at some point, even if it gets better for a little while before the deadline.
DVR just came up with a team name that someone's got to grab. Rolling WOBA.
Rolling WOBA, is that it?
That's just
a pun that I'm missing? Just a thing you like?
No, it's just a really rolling WOBA. It's like WOBA, if we look at the rolling WOBA, I just like that name. I just thought it was really cool. Like in one of my leagues, a guy's got a team called WOBA is coming. Like it was like 7 years ago. It's my cousin. And 7 years ago, he came up with the name and he was like just getting into the analytics. And he was like, you know, WOBA is coming. And he actually won the league 1 year, which was awesome for him. It was a super fun moment. Rolling WOBA. I don't know, somebody, if you want.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Also found out people are using the Vivid Seats life hack.
You got to get a code. You should write to them and get a code.
I probably should. I mean, I'm like,
give people a discount, man.
No, I thought I was going to get a cut. Give me a cut. No, a friend of mine, Chris Dolan, who is a fantasy baseball player. His son is a baseball player on my son's travel team. Best player on the team. He's like a young Tom Brady, this kid. I mean, he's just a great leader. And he listens to our show. He's a big fantasy baseball player. His son, actually, his 12-year-old son, actually has a fantasy baseball podcast, which eventually I'm going to have to go on. The kid is a really good baseball player. Really plays the game well. Anyway, he took his son yesterday to the Mets, got tickets 12 rows behind third base for $55 for a doubleheader. So for like $110 plus fees, he got seats, 12 seats from, you know, 12 rows from the field. He was pretty pleased about that. And I found out at the game this weekend, I'm sitting next to his wife. He's got a wonderful wife, very kind, really cool. And we're sitting there with Nicole and something happens. And she goes, dang. And I went, it was you. It was you. And she was like, what? And I was like, Chris, it was Beth. And he was like, oh yeah, she says dang all the time. I was like, it was you. It was Steve Gardner and you. Dang. Because she was sitting there, something bad. She's like, oh, dang. I was like, and she's from like Oregon, I think, or Washington State. So she's got that West Coast vibe. So anyway, that's the Chris Dolan.
Did you actually bring up Steve Gardner's name in a conversation with people who don't know him?
No, but Chris listens to the show. So I said to Chris, I was like, remember, because he was like, oh, great show. Or really, it was so much fun. You know, he listens every week. Nice. I was like, remember, I said that it was Steve. He's like, yeah, you said you thought it was Steve Gardner. I said, it wasn't Steve Gardner. It was your wife. It was Beth. And so then we had a giggle about that.
That's great.
Anyway, so the life hack works. Maybe I could get a code. See if we can get a code. Not a bad idea.
We'll find the address. We'll send an email on your behalf.
That'd be great.
From the,
that'd be
fantasy great. Then pods I get to, at theathletic.com.
Yeah, then I get to use the code. It's good. All right. So I really wanted to ask about Victor Robles because I own him in NL Tout Wars. He's doing better. DVR.
I associate him with DVR. Like, this is like good. Yeah, this, yeah, this is great.
Yeah. It's, I mean, because last year, yeah. So DVR, is there a chance here that it's coming together?
No, there's not.
All right. Moving along.
But see,
he's swinging more at pitches outside the zone than he ever has before. That is the opposite of what you want if there's going to be some sort of progress forward. Hitting the ball on the ground more than ever, striking out more than he did last season, walking less than he did last season, and his hard hit rate is 12.8%. That is the worst he's ever had in his career. And he's terrible at hitting the ball hard in the first place. Now he's like the worst player in the league. Literally, he's hitting the ball as hard as a pitcher hits the ball. And he loves to bunt for some stupid reason. How many steals does Victor Robles have this year? Zero. He has zero steals. He has not stolen a base. This is a guy who should make a lot of money because of his speed and his defense, and he hasn't stolen a base yet this season.
He hasn't been this mad since he got the fake email in OOTP.
I know, really. This is like, yeah. It's a, what was his name? Ken Giles hated him. Yeah.
I brought this upon myself. I was convinced that Robles in 2019, that power speed combo, I thought that was real. I know that was the year of the rabbit ball, but I thought he owned skills like that. I thought we could see 15 homer, 30 steal seasons with good batting average. I thought even last year when the plate skills were going in the right direction that maybe it was still happening. He's only going to be 25 in 2 weeks.
It's not over yet.
I don't know if he broke himself, like if he tried to hit for more power after that 2019 season. I don't know if he gets bad instruction on the side from whatever hitting coaches he works with. I don't know if the Nationals just are terrible at player development and that's part of the problem, or if it's some combination of the three or something else entirely. I don't know what it is. This guy's like one of the most disappointing players I have ever analyzed in my life. He's probably the player that I've liked the most at a peak and am annoyed by the most in the valley. I am so, so sick of Victor Robles. And every time he does anything, anything, I get tweets, I get emails, I get questions, and it's my fault.
No, come on.
Oh, man, you
stop.
Should own this. He's on
come
a roll,
on.
Man.
No,
no,
he's not.
His last 14 games, he hit 341. That's it.
Yeah, he's hitting 341. He raised his 341 line to 242, 294, 323.
But it was, yeah, it's not good.
DVR, on April 16th, he was hitting zero. Yeah. And now he's hitting 242 because he's on a tear. The pendulum is swinging.
Is he even a big league player?
I got him for $3 in NL Tout at the end, right? It was my last throw. I had $3 left. I had to choose between Anthony Bender and Victor Robles, and I went for Robles instead of handcuffing Floro, which is fine. It's actually worked out fine.
Five doubles.
He's a valuable only player. Now, that is not a 15-homer, 30-stolen-base guy. He is showing signs, and I personally always, like, you know, Jerkson Profar, who's now not hitting for the last 4 days, but really looked good there for a couple of weeks, and still batting fourth, playing every single day in left field, so still bringing value. I always look to the guys who were top prospects, because they show something. It's like Chris Dolan's kid, Lennox. This kid is great. He's a 12-year-old baseball player. He's showing so many signs that you want to invest in this kid growing up when he becomes 15, 16, when he becomes 19. Like, if you show something early, you can get back to it later.
Ian's going
to
start one of those NIL conglomerates.
No. It's great. My son's playing at a higher level of baseball against better players and holding his own quite well. I just have to learn to keep my mouth shut because I'm not the coach anymore for the first time ever. So I have to keep my mouth shut and just enjoy the game. But Ben Kahn with some big hits this weekend, guys. Ooh, really, hitting the ball. Hit with bombs, like bombs.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's really fun. Thank you. Well, him. Congratulations to him. But we've been working on, you know, we've been working a lot, and he's, But so I just think that more importantly, and what people care about, is that for me, if a guy's a top prospect, I'm going to keep giving him chances, to the point that even now, Martin Perez, like, there's this little hope in my head. Like, Matt Moore. Matt Moore is in Texas. You want to talk about under the radar? Matt Moore is, this is as under the radar as it gets. Matt Moore in Texas went down to the minor leagues. If you look at his numbers, Nando, you'll go, oh my God, look what he did in the minors. And then look what he's doing in the majors. And why am I always giving Matt Moore a chance? Because for 2 years, the top three prospects in baseball were Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and Matt Moore. Am I saying it right? It is Matt Moore, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. It doesn't sound right, right? But it is.
No. It just doesn't sound right. But so there's always a piece of me that's how I play the game. If I see a guy who's turning it up a little bit and who's been crap for 5 years, but used to be a guy that they said one day is going to be somebody, I'm going to target that guy. And Matt Moore is not to be picked up yet, but he's to be put on your watch list in your mind. Like, how's he going to do? How's he going to do? How's he going to do?
I fall into that too, because I think that teams tend to give players more chances if they were highly coveted international mm-hmm. free agent signings or early draft picks that receive large bonuses, right? That's part of like the, how do teams look at this player? And why would I believe? Well, they believe and they're going to give him more development time. But I wonder if that hurts us more than it helps us, if that leads us into more traps than eventual wins. I don't have an answer to it, but for every time that we get a payoff 4 or 5 years later with a Jurickson Profar, how many times did we, you know, push through AJ Reed or somebody else that we thought was going to come up and be good and productive, and we burned that roster spot just because of an evaluation that mm-hmm. someone else had made about that player 2, 3, 4 years before.
I'm talking about further down the line than AJ Reed, though. Like, I'm not talking about guys who haven't come up yet. I'm talking about guys who've been up and haven't done much. Like, there's a guy, Hunter Renfroe, last year. Hunter Renfroe, there was a period of time where Renfroe, when he was coming up, was a top 50 prospect, right? Mm-hmm. He was dipping into the 40s sometimes the 30s. Then he'd live at 70, but he was always on the list. He's like, oh, this is a real power bat that's going to come through. So last year in AL Labor, when he was up there for $9, even though the year before he hadn't done much, in the back of my head, I'm going, you know, he really was a top prospect. I'm going 9. It's not for guys like, hey, they're coming up. I'm down on guys who are coming up. It's very challenging to hit on those. But I'm talking about the cheap players at the end of, particularly only leagues, but it's under the radar, so that's part of what we do. The cheap players like that, it's like $7 for Gavin Lux and NL Tout this year. Why? Why'd I do it? Gavin Lux drove me crazy. But I'm like, you know what? If that kid could put it together for that price, you know, he may be a drop. Like Garrett Hampson may be a drop in NL Tout Wars, and I paid $10 for him. But for Gavin Lux for $7, or Jurickson Profar for $6, or Victor Robles for $3, those are all guys. It's like there was a period of time where they were going to be special players. When and if they do put that together, they can return $20 value. That's what I'm looking for. So I get what you're saying about AJ Reed, but I'm talking about guys who've been around for a couple of years and proven that they're going to be professional baseball players. Like AJ Reed never quite showed anything in the majors. He was the, you know, perfect quad A player. I don't know. It's something
for us to...
Oh, were
you on Willie Calhoun? Speaking of guy, just in the news.
I mean, talk about a guy.
Yeah.
Jeez. I've never liked Willie Calhoun because I didn't like his body language on the field. I just never liked it. Like, I always felt like he... It was just a little Robinson Cano-y, which we're going to talk about Cano for a minute, too. I never liked Willie Calhoun. I've never... And I like players named Willie. Willie Randolph, growing up, was one of my favorite players. But Willie Calhoun, I never liked him. I knew people liked him a lot. They liked his hit tool, but I just never liked the player, you know? Profar, I've always liked, too, you know? Hunter Renfroe, I like the way he plays. That's what I'm looking for. Like, do I like the way you play? Glenn Colton, I can do this. Glenn Colton, the soft information. Like, that's what I use to decide whether I like a guy or not. Typically, when the numbers aren't like, wow, Yadiel Hernandez. Like, I don't care right now what Yadiel Hernandez does in the dugout. Can I talk about something in the dugout? Because this leads directly into something that I found really interesting this weekend.
I would hate to stop you.
CJ Abrams and Julio Rodriguez. I like both of these players very much. Like, I've had a crush on CJ Abrams. I've been talking about him on the show for 3-4 years. He hasn't done much yet. He's 21 years old. Give him time. I think he's going to be really special. Of course, in 3 years, I could be yelling and doing my best DVR OOTP anger about how I was wrong on CJ Abrams. But I watched this weekend, they both had a big moment in a game. And I watched how they were received by their teammates. Like, this is how crazy I am. I saw that Julio Rodriguez hit his first home run. So I watched the highlights, but it stopped as soon as he crossed home plate. And I was like, nah, I want to see how his teammates reacted to him. So I actually went to the game, went to the sixth inning, found the moment, and then watched from there.
Ian, where are you watching this? For as a service to the listeners, how are you like pulling up all these old games? You going to the MLB?
MLB app, which I highly recommend. I really do. I mean, it's a little expensive, $149, but it's everything. I mean, it's you know, I watch Yes Network on my computer or Yes Network with watch the Yankee games with my family. But if I'm just watching games, being able to switch between games is just, it's so awesome. It's so much fun. So CJ Abrams comes up in the, I think it was the ninth, top of the ninth, and hits a sacrifice fly, a really deep fly ball to right center field. He came back to the dugout, and every member of that dugout came over with big smiles on their face. Now, I'm going to talk about something. This is really soft information. And just congratulate him, tap him on the head. Awesome job. Julio Rodriguez this past Saturday hit a 460-foot bomb for his very first home run of his career. I wanted to see how his teammates responded. It surprised me how they responded. They didn't look happy for him. They weren't hugging him. It felt a little bit like A-Rod back in the day. And I wonder about that because J-Rod is so awesome and so happy. And I could be wrong about that. Please tweet at me. Say, no, you're wrong. He's awesome with his teammates. But I saw something that was a little like, huh? I saw a little disconnect there. Because there was one guy who gave him a hug. And then J-Rod picked that guy up and like was dominant in that moment. And the guy kind of was like, all right, you're the man. Okay. There's just a little bit of that vibe. And I don't know how that affects the game, but it was something that caught my eye.
Could I just throw this out there? If that was his first home run, isn't that like the freeze out they do on purpose to mess around with him?
Yeah, it wasn't that. It wasn't the freeze out. It wasn't the Joey Gallo freeze out that happened, you know, a week and a half ago. That was funny. It was just a little different. It was like, it's like he's his own. It's like he's in his own universe a little bit. Like he's his own. He's a superstar. I mean, the guy's going to be just ridiculously good. I don't think it affects his value. It's something I noticed. And again, this, you know, it's a podcast. We're fun and we're enjoying and we're bringing stuff up. So it's just it's food for thought. I think he's wonderful. I think he's a wonderful player. I just noticed the dynamics in the dugout. I'm always fascinated by that. DVR, is that worth anything or is that worth cutting?
I didn't see it. I didn't see the reaction. So I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't watch that team enough to know how they interact with each other in general, right? Couldn't there be
That's a good point.
Different clubhouses and different teams have different vibes about them, right? You see the Angels have, I think, the cowboy hat right now. Someone homers, They get the cowboy hat. Like some teams do stuff like that. Not every team does. Some of that comes back to the manager. Some of that comes back to who the clubhouse leaders are. This is a young team that doesn't really have a long-standing position player that you look at and go, that guy's definitely the leader. I mean, maybe it's Mitch Haniger. Maybe it's...
Yeah, but he's hurt.
Maybe it's J.P. Crawford. He's been there a while now.
Yeah, maybe. J.P. Crawford's been awesome. My gosh. Eugenio Suarez just got there. Jesse Winker. Quick change of subject. Jesse Winker. Why is he so bad, Dark?
I don't know. I mean, it's a new park. That's part of the explanation that can't be a complete explanation of what's actually wrong. He was among the players. We looked at a bunch of guys that are underperforming on Monday under the radar, and the underlying numbers still look pretty good. Plate seals still look pretty good. You wonder when, anytime a guy gets traded to a new team or if they sign a big contract, are they going to press? Are they going to try and do damage on every single swing, and is it going to cause things to go wrong?
Okay.
That's not really happening. He's not swinging at pitches outside the zone more. Like the thing that made Jesse Winker so good for the time he was in Cincinnati was his plate discipline. And that looks exactly the same. O swing percentage is good. Walk rate's good. K rate is better than ever. He's hitting the ball in the air a lot. It seems just like a slump to me. I don't see anything in the profile that would make me hesitant to go trade for Jesse Winker. I think you just have to... You have to lower the expectations in the home run category because it's a big shift going from Great American Ballpark to T-Mobile Field, whatever they call the park in Seattle.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Nando, do you have any thoughts?
I think it's weird that... So, okay, kind of tied into this. I was trying to get a trade for Joe Adell a few days ago before the demotion. And the guy also has Jared Kelenic. And... You know, he rejected all of my offers, which were, I actually told him, like, I'll pay for potential. Like, I know he's on a short side of a platoon right now, but I think it's Dynasty League, AL only, whatever. And he was very stubborn about it, wouldn't take anybody for him. even like Shane McClanahan. But
really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Point is,
I would trade you. I think I would. Wow.
Well, the point.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Point is, Adele, you know, Adele got dropped down before he accepted anything, or even like, you know, I don't know. He just kept. So anyway, I wrote him a note. I'm like, hey man, sucks for the timing. He's like, yeah, but he was doing better than Kelenic. I'm like, man, that's like, you know, you start thinking about all these Seattle players outside of Ty France who are just kind of crapping right now.
Well, J.P. Crawford, again, J.P. Crawford's not crapping.
He's not going to sustain that, though.
You know what
and
he
no one,
looks
I mean,
like?
No one expected it, but I think you're not going to be mad if you got J.P. Crawford and he's, you know, hitting 240.
He's hitting 340.
I know, but I'm saying, like, you're going to be mad if you got all these other guys and they're all these.
That's true.
All these Mariners are just kind of crap in the bed for you a little bit.
Wow. You know, for the first time I can remember, J.P. Crawford has projections that are league average or better as a hitter. For the rest of season. I don't think I've ever seen that for him before.
I'm telling you, you know what he looks like? So again, I go back to the prospect list. He was a top 10 prospect. Top 10. Like Novelli Marte is top, you know, he's probably dropped a couple of spots, but like Corbin Carroll is a top 10 prospect. And it wasn't just the glove. He was a top 10 fantasy prospect. He's looking like Francisco Lindor right now. I'm telling you, what are the numbers? What are the projections saying?
They've got him as just a good player, right? So I'm looking at Zips is 269, 341, 400 slug, but at a low K percentage, under 20%, with walks and good defense at shortstop. 11
great
homers,
shortstop.
4 steals. So that'd give him 15. He'd be a 15-5 guy with pretty good counting stats, assuming that other pieces of this lineup do put it together, right? I mean,
I'll take an over on all of that.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
I'll take an over on all of that. I'll take over 15 home runs. I'll take over 5 stolen bases. I'll take over a 269 average. And I'll take over on good defense and call it remarkably good defense at shortstop. Like, really good player. Like, Willy Adames. I got to be careful. But I think he can hit 16 home runs with 7 stolen bases and a 270 average. I don't want to say 35 homers. I'm not saying that. But I do think I'm believing it. I mean, the ball's going out by so much when he hits it. Not by a little, by a lot. And we'll see. Is it time to buy Joe Adell, though, real quick? Now's the time, I guess.
I think it is.
Now's
the
time.
Big time.
Now's
the
time. Yeah. Because this is I just dropped him on the dynasty rankings in the 130s. That's the first time he's been outside the top 100 in
That's
a very
crazy.
Long time.
So I think
I think
you can actually, like, what's important here is the distinction. Like, you know, a lot of people, oh, you got to go get him, buy low. But right now, I think so many people are so frustrated with Joe Adell. Like you just said, you dropped him. I think you can actually buy low on Joe Adell. I don't think anyone wants him right now.
Yeah, but the problem is emotionally, as a dynasty owner, like, it's hard to sell low, you know, unless you're competing, right? It's hard to sell low unless you're competing. So if the Joe Adell owner is in the top 3 or 4, you can buy him. If he's in 7th or 10th place, he's not going to sell you. Because why would he sell a piece that could increase in value so tremendously? Two things.
Cody, I feel like he's been up and down so many times now that it's kind of like, this is not happening.
He'll find his time. He's still young. What is he, 20?
This is weird. Yeah, he's still young. I mean, he's still what? He's 23. Turned 23 in April. So he's barely 23 years old. This is all what's weird to me, though.
Well, I like, just for the record, I like him. You're arguing against an invisible person I made up.
The problem is that because offense is down so much around the league, you look at a line like Adell's and you say, oh, he's hitting 231 with a 242 OBP and a 431 slug. He's popped a few homers. That's actually decent line. That's a 95 WRC plus. That's barely below league average. The league is such a disaster right now from an offensive standpoint. I think it's creating some pretty interesting buying opportunities in long-term leagues, especially. The ball is not always going to play like this. We know the ball is constantly changing. We know with 30 humidors, as the weather changes, the ball's going to change some more. We know that the Angels are trying to win this year. Joe Adell might get traded to a place where he can just play every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation in long-term leagues, if you still believe in the core skills, I think you should get him now, because this is the time where someone who has him needs to get production and isn't going to want to wait a few weeks or even a couple of months possibly for Joe Adell to get playing time again. The thing I don't understand, guys, is I just don't know what he's going to fix at AAA. Like
His defense. It's a defensive problem.
He's striking out 36.4% of the time. How is he going to become a better big league hitter working on his defense at AAA?
Yeah, but he's hurting the team. I mean, if you're a bad defender, they don't want to play you, and they can't put him at designated hitter. So, like, they can't work it out because they've got Ohtani there, right? So it's kind of screwy, but bad defense really hurts teams. Defense is huge for actual baseball, fantasy baseball. I wish fantasy baseball would bring that into account a little bit. I wish there was a way that we could do that. Like, you know, great plays in the week. That would be awesome. Could we add that category? Like, you know, there's a 80% chance that you're not going to make this play. And if you make the play, you get a, you know, that'd be awesome. I would love that. Let's push for that. Let's push for being able to use Ohtani in both spots in the same week and add fielding, because his fielding is I believe I read second worst in baseball in the outfield. And that's the reason why he's not going to play. And I think that's what Joe Maddon was talking about when he says still got stuff to work out, because watching Little League defense matters. Watching baseball last night, watching the Blue Jays and Bo Bichette, bobble a ball and then throw it away, it changes the entire momentum of a game. An error changes the momentum of a game. And you can't afford that. You just can't afford to have outfielders making plays that cost you. Outfielders need to just catch the ball, get to the ball and catch it. Like, that's their job.
Well, then poor Lewis Brinson stuck in the minors. One of the best defenders in baseball.
Yeah, but we know he can't hit.
But he can walk.
Let's say.
He's hitting all the check boxes that you were just saying were important for a baseball player.
Yeah, but he needs to hit above 185. But if he were to get...
They're not afraid to pitch to him.
That's it. Two home runs already in this young season in 14 games. And three steals.
That's fun. Yeah. If he were to get traded to the Pittsburgh
Pirates... For the Sugarland Skeeters. Oh, looks like he was player of the week.
He's Vic Robesing in the minors right now.
For David Bednar and... I don't know, somebody else, you're probably not going to see that happen, but you hope he's not turning into Clint Frazier. But it is the time. He's 40 cents on the dollar at this point. He's definitely 40% on the dollar.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Do you guys like hearing umpires as much as I do?
Yes, I want umpires to explain themselves because they should. Hard job behind the plate, especially.
Really hard job.
Tell us what
really
you saw. Tell us what you're doing. You know, we don't have to guess. We got microphones. Let's use them.
Are you talking about how they announce things like in football now?
Yeah, I really like it. Like all of a sudden, like there's this one umpire who for years I always thought was so mean because he had this really bad thing with David Ortiz. Like and he looked at him really mean, like, and I was like, oh, that guy's a jerk. And then all of a sudden last night he made an announcement. I was like, oh, he sounds like a pretty nice guy. Look at that. Oh, that's not at all what I thought it would sound like, you know? So it's kind of interesting for me to see that.
Can we get into Ethan Small real quick before I just want to swing back to Ethan Small before we hit the cascade of Ian stuff.
Go. We've been cascading the whole time. So please.
Well, he's a Brewers guy. So I figured maybe DVR had some kind of insight on Ethan Small. And if he He's 4% rostered in the CBS leagues, but I feel like he's on a different level than the other two guys we brought up. Out of control, awesome numbers. No one's talking about him, though. No. That's all.
Yeah.
The end.
There's always been this doubt that Ethan Small's stuff is going to be as effective against big league hitters as it's been in college and in the minors, because there's a lot of deception. He's got a very funky release. The fastball is tough for people to pick up on. So everything is played up to this point. I'm more worried about the control.
That's what I was looking at.
I just think the walk rate is unbelievably high. He doesn't give up homers, so you can get away with a slightly higher walk rate. But you're not going to walk, 14 to 16% of the batters you face in the big leagues and stay in the big leagues. That's not going to happen. So I think to me, the path is sort of like the Ashby path, just looking in the same organization, where once Ethan Small comes up, it's probably as a multi-inning reliever. It's a guy that comes in and chews up the 5th, 6th, and 7th and kind of bridges the gap to the short relievers and hopefully keeps them in the game. I think that's what they're hoping he can be. And if they see enough with the secondaries, they see enough with the command where they think he can get through the lineup maybe two and a half times, then they can maybe spot start him and make him an occasional member of their rotation. So I think he's a good pitcher. He's an interesting prospect.
Interesting, yeah.
I think it could work, but I think the command just has to be more consistent before he's going to get that opportunity.
Do you have velo on Ethan Small?
I don't think I do.
I'm just trying to grab a minute to just look at his how he throws, because that 16 walks is pretty scary. That's a lot of walks. Hold on. You're too loud. Hold on, so I'm just doing a thing. Oh, that's wild. All right, I do have to. I'm sorry. I actually didn't watch film on him, and I will watch film on him because I am curious. But he's very big. He's very gangly. It's a lot of gangle going on. Anything on this list that you see there, Nando, that is particularly interesting or exciting?
Are you just trying to stall and ask me a question you didn't really want to ask?
No, I can't watch it because it's not an easy watch. Like, I can typically watch somebody for 15 seconds and be like, all right, that's who he is. But go ahead, yeah.
Well, I thought like just Jose Miranda would have been fine, but Jose Miranda's cousin has me intrigued.
Does anyone know who Jose Miranda's cousin is?
Hanley Ramirez.
Close. No, not really close. DVR, can you get this?
Jose Miranda's cousin? Is he?
Jose Miranda has a very, very famous cousin.
I mean, is it Moncada?
Dun, 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 dun. What does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore, and a Scotsman? Do you know who that is?
No.
You don't?
I do. That's Aaron Burr.
Who is his cousin?
Aaron Burr?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Wait, what?
That's awesome.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is Jose Miranda's...
I feel like you saw that on a Facebook page somewhere.
I saw that on a Twitter page somewhere.
Let's go look that up right now. All right,
Go take a look.
Here comes Johnny Fact Check. Jose Miranda cousin, Lin.
You're going to have to send him a text on that one and get confirmation firsthand before we can report it.
Sporting News. Oh, hey, Bleacher Report.
I'm a little tighter with the George Washington with Chris Jackson than I am. I don't have Lin-Manuel Miranda's phone number.
Can you get a second confirmation? Can a friend of a friend get it for you?
Lin-Manuel Miranda congratulates cousin Jose on being called up by Twins.
Hello.
Wow.
He tweeted it.
Is that confirmation
from his official account?
Yeah. Okay. If that was tweeted. Yeah, okay. I think I'm leaning toward that being all legit.
Which part? Like, you thought I made that up?
Ian, who would you rather meet?
I've already met Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Let's say you hadn't.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. There's no question. Lin-Manuel Miranda is a genius of geniuses of geniuses of geniuses, like Picasso of our time. So yes, I would go with him above the good hitting. He was going to get playing time, and finally in AL labor, I got him for a buck in the auction, and now he's going to play, and he may stick because Miguel Sano has been bad and has a torn meniscus and is going to have surgery. So you're looking at some time now for Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin, I would say. It's pretty exciting. My younger son goes to sleep every night listening to Dear Theodosia from that show. So, Lin-Manuel Miranda is in my ear every day. Lin-Manuel Miranda is the best.
When you met him, were you like, was he like, hey, George Washington? Did he know? Really?
Yeah, sure. Well, he watched Turn because he was writing while we were doing the show, and then we aired, and you know, it all happened. He was like, oh my God. And Chris Jackson, when he introduced me, was like, yo, look, I got the guy. And he was like, oh my goodness, hello, sir. And I was like the biggest dope because I was just like, because I had just seen the show. And I'd just seen it. And I went backstage to meet Chris, and then Chris was like bringing me around to everybody, and I met Lynn, and I was just like, dude, what do you say?
Great show, man.
Yeah, beyond that, that's like this, it is 80 grade. It's Wander Franco good. It's the best. He's the best. It's the best thing. This is the best show. When I took Tony Kornheiser to see the show, and which is a very funny story. I don't know if I've ever told on the show, but Tony was, he ended up taking the train. It was a great old story. I'll tell you another time because we're running out of time. But he was like, look, Ian, it's a good show. Will it be good? I said, it'll be the best show you've ever seen in your life. And then at intermission, I turned to him and he goes, it's the best show I've ever seen in my life. It's better than the original West Side Story. I was like, yes, it is, isn't it? He said, it's better than Les Miserables. I said, yes, it is. So it's the greatest Broadway show ever.
Where's it with Avenue Q?
That's Juan Soto and... Avenue Q would be Aaron Hicks.
Oh, come on, versus, man.
I mean, or Stanton, but it's not. Avenue Q is a good show, but Hamilton is one of the greatest pieces of art created by humanity ever. If you have Disney Plus, I remember begging DVR to get Disney Plus so he could watch Hamilton. Did you ever watch Hamilton on Disney Plus?
I got to send you that money back on PayPal. I still haven't. Okay.
You've been saying that for a while, man.
Let me send that money back just because it's embarrassing for me to keep it.
No. I commend, using a Tony Kornheiser line, I commend to all the listeners, if you have not listened to Hamilton or watched Hamilton, it's not as good on TV as it is in the theater. If it comes to your town, invest if you can. Although with the pandemic, I don't know. But it's the greatest show ever. I've seen it 6 times. I've seen it on tour. I'm friends with the George Washington, who's on tour right now in South Carolina. I saw him do it in Philly. I've seen it on Broadway like 4 times. It's brilliant. It's the best of the medium. It's the best. So yes, if I had a choice between hanging out with Lin-Manuel Miranda or Jose Miranda, I would be hanging with Lin-Manuel.
Well, hanging out is, I said, meet.
Or even meeting, whatever. I mean, just because then I would have the opportunity not to be like, oh my God, it was so good.
Autograph. You know? It was autograph.
No autograph. I have a picture with him. I have a picture with him and Burr. It was him and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and me. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda actually posted it the next day, and it said, he wrote, turned up, and then posted the picture of the four of us, which I was... Still not a great picture, but it was very kind of him to do.
Tweet at him right now and just be like, hey, congratulations on your cousin. We just talked about him on our show. You should come on sometime.
I gotta admit, I don't get starstruck very much from being in the field that I've been in for a very long time, though on sabbatical for a little bit longer. But Lin-Manuel Miranda, after seeing Hamilton and realizing that not only did he perform it brilliantly, but that he wrote every dang word of it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's just the best. It's the best. And also I think it hit me probably deeper because I was in the middle of playing Washington when I saw it. Like I was still playing Washington. So watching Washington's story come alive on stage, watching Chris play him brilliantly and like being like, yeah, you're doing it right. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. That's what happened. You know, it was just magnificent. Last couple of things. The ball, more eye evidence to this. This is a totally different ball. There are balls that go off the bat, and I'm like, that's a home run, and it lands right at the warning track. Like 2 times a game, 3 times a game? You guys noticing that as well? DVR, do you notice that?
I see it, I think, every single day, at least in one game, where there's a ball that I'm certain is a home run off the bat. Mm-hmm. The hitter thinks it's a home run off the bat. Other guys on the field and the dugouts think it's a home run off the bat. It's exactly as you said, it's a long out. And I don't know. I think if you're going to mess with the baseball, you should actually, you know, rigorously test it a lot to make sure that that doesn't happen. A ball that everyone thinks should be a home run should probably be a home run.
A ball that you crush as a major leaguer like that should go out.
Is it the ball or is it the humidor, though? I mean, because if it, you know, maybe summertime, it'll fix it.
Maybe. Yeah, I hope so, because it's weird. It's weird to watch. And but it makes guys like Aaron Judge that much more valuable, because it doesn't matter when Judge hits him, because he hits him 400, you know, with the old ball, hit at 470 feet. So now he's hitting at 430 feet and still going out. Aaron Judge right now is ridiculous. And on our main event team is doing remarkably well. Our team is like 25th overall right now. And we're still in second place to Dusault, but we're, you know, we started out so bad. And now
when's
we're
the last time you talked to Phil Dusault?
That one time. That was it.
All right.
It was
Does
very
not
exciting.
Not,
I haven't called him. Right. I haven't had a reason to. We don't, there's no
he
trades.
Hasn't called you
in,
either, right?
No. I pushed for that call. He was like, okay. It was very nice, though. We talked for a good 30 minutes. But every day I think about Phil Dusault, and that's awesome. Everyone's like, God, you're in the league. And Dusault's in fourth place overall on that team. Like, his team is fourth overall. So everyone's like, oh, you're in the league with Dusault where he's fourth overall. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that sucks. I'm like, no, it's great. It's like, let's go. Let's go. Let's see what we got. I still think it's not as good a game without trading. I really do. I miss it. It's like, we got such great hitting. I could use some more strikeouts. I'd love to make a trade where we could trade Ty France, or we could trade Anthony Rizzo, or we could trade Aaron Judge, because we have, you know, our hitting is so strong that, you know, to beef up our strikeouts would be nice, but we can't. So we'll just play the game as is. But boy, is it, it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. Fantasy baseball is so much fun. Oh my God. Too much fun. Too much fun.
I agree.
So much fun.
I'm having a good year. I think dropping teams is key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows if you don't have 14 teams?
And setting the lineup, also key.
Yeah, I know.
Are you setting your lineup?
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
Good.
Now that I realize I have to do it. Like, it was just, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess I always feel like I have a phantom vaquero with me who's going to settle the lineups for us.
You don't. Vaquero's in the top 100 in the main event, too. He's doing pretty well.
He's an amazing player. You should call him sometime.
I'm. You know what?
We should go to his bar. Let's go to his bar.
Hey, there you go. Let's do it. I'm almost ready to go out again with the COVID, but you know, with the COVID, I'm a little bit more safe than anybody else. Yeah. So I think that's pretty much it. Also, the shift is ridiculous. David Cohn calls it the algorithm.
great segue.
It's so that's just, I'm just getting off the rest of the stuff, and the Yankees are so good. 11 in a row. I think 2 weeks ago I called them boring. Wow. They're playing. I get to watch them every day. So they're playing so very well. I think Gary Sanchez not being on the team is huge. Changes everything.
There it is.
It's true. You put Jose Trevino behind the plate. All of a sudden, pitches that were balls. We've just learned that 2 inches on either side of the plate, umpires consider a strike. Well, if Gary Sanchez is catching it and moving the glove, and Jose Trevino is getting you those strikes, it makes a huge difference. Jose Trevino is blocking balls, scooping balls that were pass balls for years. Who knows? Good defense.
It does matter, but I don't think it's the greatest addition by subtraction in baseball history. I don't think it's like...
I didn't say that,
no,
but I'll say...
I'm just trying to bring it into... this was a good team to begin with, and they fixed one of their flaws, and they'd probably be 17-7 if they still had Gary Sanchez instead of 18-6.
I disagree. I firmly disagree.
I agree with EBR.
I firmly disagree with you both. You're both wrong. You're both wrong on this one. I'm taking the other side of the coin on this one. I'm telling you, look at the ERAs for the pitchers. Look at how the pitchers are pitching now. Look at their numbers. Everybody is performing better. Everybody. Because you don't have to worry about balls just squirting by. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's not the greatest addition by subtraction in the history of baseball. But I would say on a 1 to 100 scale, with 100 being the best of all time, it's a 89 upside for the Yankees not having Gary Sanchez on that baseball team. I really believe that. I believe it every day when I'm watching. I'm like, God, team's so much better now.
Give it some time.
Okay, I will. I could be wrong, easily wrong, and you guys both think that I'm wrong, so, you know, I'm open to that being the case, but that's my belief, watching.
All right, keep going. I don't want to stop you.
No, I think we got to, I mean, DVR.
Yeah, we probably got to go, you're right. I lost track
of time. We probably got to go.
Quick show.
No, yeah. Was it quick? Was it fun?
Quick, fun show.
A lot of Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's really good. Yeah.
If people listen to that part, they were rewarded with some cool insights.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Hey. And you guys thought I was lying about Jose Miranda being Lin-Manuel Miranda's cousin, and I was right about that one. So I think I might be right. If there are other Yankee fans who listen to the show and who've been watching the games, tweet at us, at all three of us, and say, "If yeah, Ian's an idiot. He's wrong." Or, you know, Ian is still an idiot, but he might be right on this one.
You're right.
We gotta go. Yeah. On that note,
there's your opening.
For the man who just sold all his Victor Robles cards in a fit of anger. Da, 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 da.
The smart move was that I never bought them in the first place.
For the man who thinks that Aaron Judge's cousin is Judge Judy Income.
She is. She is.
We gotta go. Hope you enjoyed it, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Good talk.